Hello, I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Joshua P. Warren Daily. And I have had some really interesting synchronicity regarding contacting the dead and James Bond. Yeah, this is going to be intriguing. So, how shall I begin? Well, okay, when I was a teenager, I worked for a couple of years at a video rental store. And so during that period of time, I could watch all the movies I wanted for free. And I took full advantage of that, and I watched a bunch of movies. I think for someone my age, I probably saw more movies from the 50s and 60s and 70s than just about anybody else. So I, during that period of time, watched the entire James Bond series, of course, up to that point. And I've always loved James Bond. That does not make me unique at all. It is one of the most successful series ever produced. And I've always even found Ian Fleming to be the author of the books to be a fascinating guy. You know, he lived in the Caribbean and he liked to snorkel. I mean, he was an Englishman, but you know, he eventually moved to the Caribbean, and he drank martinis and smoked and did all that stuff. And when he finally had a heart attack, I think he was only in his 50s. The last thing he did was sort of apologize to the paramedics for, you know, giving them the trouble of having to come and try to rescue him. But anyway, of course, when it comes to the James Bond films, numerous actors have portrayed James Bond. The very first was Sean Connery. And, you know, Sean Connery, he's still alive. He's 89 years old. He was born in 1930, and he got the role of James Bond in 1962 or thereabouts. So he was around 31, 32 when he got that role in the film Dr. No. And then, of course, the next actor who really took over the franchise was Roger Moore, who was 3 years older than Sean Connery. He was born in 1927. Roger Moore died in 2017 at age 89 of prostate cancer. And he became James Bond at a much later point in his life. Roger Moore was 46 or 45 or 46 when he actually got the role of playing James Bond. And one of the you know, there's always this debate among aficionados of 007. Who was the best Bond? Well, look, one thing I can tell you is, yeah, I enjoy what Daniel Craig does, the, you know, rebooting it as Bond's a real badass and everything. But the thing that, one of the things that made Bond to me was the sense of humor that, you know, Sean Connery's writers and Roger Moore's writers brought to the role. For example, so Lauren, my wife, believe it or not, had never watched a Sean Connery James Bond film up until just a week or two ago. And she watches a lot of movies. And I think it's TCM, Turner Classic Movies, is doing some James Bond marathons. So she started watching the Sean Connery James Bond movies and really enjoying them. And so, you know, I started watching them with her. And so we've been talking about Sean Connery and Roger Moore and 007 and all that. And so we were watching one of the movies. Heck, I forget which one it was. I think it might have been You Only Live Twice. But an example of the sense of humor I'm talking about is, there is a point where Bond, of course, he's way up in like this penthouse with some chick he's about to bang, and the bad guys come in and they grab the chick and they just throw her out the window. And you see her fall and fall, and she's screaming, and she falls and falls, and then she lands in a swimming pool. And so Sean Connery looks out the window and he goes, "Excellent shot." You know, because if you want to talk like Sean Connery, all you have to do is put your tongue in the roof of your mouth and you sound a little Scottish like Sean Connery, right? Bond, James Bond, something like that. Connery's Bond says to the bad guy, "Excellent shot." And the bad guy goes, "I didn't know there was a pool down there." Okay, that's funny. Okay, that is funny. Or, you know, you're watching Roger Moore in A View to a Kill, for example. And he's sitting there, he's had a fling, of course, you know. And the next morning he gets up and he goes to talk to the bad guy, who is in this case Christopher Walken. And Christopher Walken says something along the lines of, "So did you sleep well last night?" And actually, I guess I've never tried to do Walken before. "So did you sleep well last night?" I don't know. I'm not gonna. So anyway, and then Bond says something to the effect, "Well, it was a bit restless, but I got off eventually." You know, that's it's just stupid stuff like that. These little lines that and delivering that sense of humor that I think brings an extra element of entertainment to the Bond character, because you can't take any of this seriously. It's all over the top. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny that nowadays they're trying to make Bond all super serious. But I bring this up because when Lauren and I were watching some of these Connery Bond films, it was right around the time when the hurricane Dorian was tearing the hell out of the Bahamas. And we were watching, I think it was Thunderball, which has a lot of Bahamas action in it, which I love because, you know, I'm Mr. Aquatic guy. I love all that stuff. And it's funny because I was saying, well, that's kind of interesting. We're watching this movie about the Bahamas as the Bahamas are sort of being torn up by this hurricane. Oh, and by the way, I think Sean Connery lives in the Bahamas now. And so, sure enough, like the next day, there was a news story saying that indeed, you know, Dorian had devastated the northern part of the Bahamas, but the part where Sean Connery lives was okay. And Sean Connery, who's very reclusive now, and I don't blame him. I mean, God, he's been in the public eye for so many years. I can see why he wants to just sort of relax and be a normal person. Sean Connery, at least, you know, gave a comment or whatever to some Scottish newspaper and said that he and his wife and his property, they're all okay, that, you know, he made it through it all right. And so I thought that was interesting that, again, you see the connection. All right, we're watching James Bond movies. The Bond movie's set in the Bahamas. We start talking about Sean Connery. Then I go, "Oh crap, I think Sean Connery lives in the Bahamas, and there's a hurricane hitting the Bahamas." And then he comes out in a news story and says, "Yeah, I do live in the Bahamas, but I'm okay." All right, fine. So we move on from the Sean Connery films into the Roger Moore movies, which the first one that Roger Moore was in was Live and Let Die, which of course has that great theme by Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney and Wings, right? You know that song. And then the last film that Roger Moore did as Bond was A View to a Kill. And here, just this morning, I woke up, and here is this news story about Roger Moore. And I'm bringing up the story right now. It says Roger Moore's daughter says James Bond star visits her from beyond the grave. Okay, now this is from Fox News. It says Roger Moore's daughter, basically, says, you know, Roger Moore's daughter says he visits her from beyond the grave. So I'm like, what the heck is this all about? And so I'm going to read some of this to you. Roger Moore's ghost still visits from beyond the grave, his daughter has claimed. Her name is Deborah. She's 55. Says she often gets signs that Sir Roger, who died of prostate cancer in 2017, is still around. Okay, now before I tell you what her explanation is, I want to clarify a couple of things for those of you who are listening here in the US of A. She's going to talk about going to Sainsbury's. And you say, what the heck is that? Sainsbury's apparently is like a grocery store, okay, or a supermarket or something like that. So Sainsbury's, I guess, is similar to like Walmart or whatever, okay? I don't know. Like in Asheville, maybe it'd be Ingles, but it's some kind of a supermarket. And she's also going to talk about MI5. Now, if you listen to James Bond talk in various films, you'll hear him occasionally talk about MI5. And in the UK, that means Military Intelligence Section 5. So that's the UK's Domestic Counterintelligence and Security Agency. So you'll know what, if I bring up Sainsbury's and MI5, you'll kind of know what we're talking about here. All right. So let's get back to the story. So here is one of the reasons she said that she believes he's coming back. She says the star's daughter believes he is still making his presence felt. She recalled a recent occasion on which she got up early one morning to go to Sainsbury's when what she called, quote, the weirdest thing happened. She said, quote, there was no one in the street, and this little Japanese man came up to me with this mobile phone, and he started pointing at it, going, MI5, MI5, James Bond, James Bond, MI5. I said, are you looking for the MI5 building? He went, yeah, James Bond, 007. And then she says, quote, now of all of the people to come up to in the street, it's me. All right. So now, for one thing, this is a weird story because I don't, why was this Japanese guy looking for the MI5? I don't even know what that means. But you see what she's getting at. She's saying like, oh, I'm going to the grocery store or Walmart or whatever. And there are all these people all over the place, and this little Japanese man comes up to me and starts screaming about 007, and you know, okay, so I get the point. So she said, quote, it was like, Dad, this is you having a laugh. So there's all these little things which always make me feel as though he's around me. End quote. So she gives a number of examples, and here's another one that she talks about. She said she was in France, and she said, quote, I was walking along the beach, and there was this big Russian boat, and when it moved, the colors changed, and the side said 007. That really struck her. And she also said, quote, and then there was a friend who lives in Sweden. And she said when she went to work, quote, the only picture in the entire office was of your father, end quote. So you know, there's a lot of additional information that could be given, but I think you get the point. She also, by the way, said that Roger Moore, her father, spent his final days at a clinic in Switzerland. And this is just something interesting. She said, he used to say to the doctors, I don't want any bad news. Just tell me what the treatment is going to be. He was always trying to be as positive as possible because I don't think he wanted to accept that he was dying. Right up until the end, he was like, I'm going to get better. I'm going to be fine. The last thing he ever said to me was, "I love you too," which always makes me smile. Now, here is the interesting thing about this story. There are actually a lot of interesting things, but the main thing is, Roger Moore's daughter, and of course, again, for me personally, I'm seeing all this 007, Sean Connery, Roger Moore, Bahamas stuff like synchronistically popping up. But Roger Moore's daughter is saying, "I feel like that he's communicating with me." Now, she didn't say, "Oh, I woke up in the middle of the night and there was the luminous figure of my father standing there saying, 'Shaken, not stirred.'" Now, that'd be the wrong guy. "Shaken, not stirred," right? She didn't say that. What she's saying is, these events that happen in my life, these sort of synchronistic things that occur, indicate that maybe my father is expressing his energy, his information in some form. And what are the chances that this would happen and that would happen? And okay, before I go further with this, if you're listening to this program right now and you're thinking about this very stringently, you say, "Okay, you're talking about confirmation bias." Do you know what that is? So confirmation bias, I think the best way to describe it is just to read the definition here. Confirmation bias is the tendency to search for, interpret, favor, and recall information in a way that affirms one's prior beliefs or hypotheses. It is a type of cognitive bias and a systematic error of inductive reasoning. People display this bias when they gather or remember information selectively, or when they interpret it in a biased way. The effect is stronger for desired outcomes, for emotionally charged issues, and for deeply entrenched beliefs. People also tend to interpret ambiguous evidence as supporting their existing position. Let me tell you something, my friends. That exists. Okay, I see a lot of it. With the work that I do, I see confirmation bias almost every day. And I understand exactly what that's all about. Somebody wants to believe they're seeing an alien or a ghost or a Bigfoot or whatever, and they want to believe it so bad that they stretch their imagination to the limit, and then you have pareidolia, which is that tendency to look at things and create order out of chaos. I mean, it happens. It's real. And sometimes people who go too far with confirmation bias and pareidolia are right there on the verge of insanity. They're about to lose grasp of logic and what's rational. So this is a real consideration. However, on a personal level, and I think it has to be a personal level, there are times when I believe people are able to connect with their deceased loved ones via the process of universal synchronicities. And a lot of times, I've talked to people over the years who find a certain coin, penny, dime, nickel, whatever, and sometimes it just falls out of the sky and stuff like that. And you say, "Well, what's the meaning of that?" And they say, "Well, my grandfather always used to collect coins," or whatever, you know. But you get much more specific when it almost seems like if you open your mind to like the fact that maybe spirits can't just pop up and speak, English, just appear like a ghost in your bedroom and say, "Hey there, here's what's happened." Maybe the best they can do is sort of sway events. It reminds me of Vance Pollock. He opens his mind to this. Vance Pollock, I've talked about him many times over the years. He was one of the last hosts of the Speaking of Strange show that I created. And he's been a really great friend for many, many years. And Vance, I consider him like the Sherlock Holmes of historians. I call him a forensic historian. And when Vance just becomes fixated on a certain subject from history, then these amazing synchronicities happen that guide him to information that would otherwise not be necessarily available. And so, for example, the kind of thing like, he's driving down the road, someplace he's never been before, and he sees a cemetery and he says, "I feel like I want to go take a stroll through a cemetery." And he walks through a cemetery, and what does he do? He walks right up to a gravestone, and it happens to be the gravestone of some person that he's been researching, right? This kind of thing. And then you get to the gravestone. Maybe there's an object at the gravestone, and you say, "Well, why is that object there?" And then you start following the trail, and you see that everything is connected, that everything ought to be connected because it is a universe, universe. It's unified. And yes, you can go too far with this. It can drive you nuts. But on the other hand, maybe it's comforting to think that we are all connected. You're connected even to your deceased loved ones. And you're connected to people in the future who haven't even been born yet. So when you think about that, there is knowledge here, there is wisdom that you can tap into, but maybe communicating with a spirit is not always some sort of a blatant sort of caricature of what you expect when you're talking to some ghost or whatever. This sort of thing comes to you more in signs and symbols and synchronicities and things that just appear at a certain phase. And sometimes it's only meant for you. It's only meant for you. So it's going to be really interesting after hearing me talk about this if you have some kind of a synchronistic experience that you feel like connects you to someone who died, because maybe that will be a message for you. And you might be the only one who gets it, but just a little message for you that you don't truly die, you just change forms. And even when you change forms, your information is still there, and you can still sort of reach back and connect over space and time, life and death. We can connect. It transcends all those things. So maybe you'll have an experience like that. And that's why I believe, well, your mind is such a powerful thing. You exist. That's the end of the story, right? So it's like you're a conscious observer. Some people think when you die, well, that's the end of it. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me. I think you're here, whatever this is, you're here. You're a conscious observer. And so you're always going to be a conscious observer of some kind, on some level, in some way. And that's why if you are not distracted by all the crap that you're subjected to on a day-to-day basis, you can actually start thinking about that and honing that and master that and use it to start creating a mold for what you want to observe. You're not just a passive observer, i.e., a victim or whatever. No, you are an observer who can also participate in how things unfold. That's why I think manifestation tools are so important. Whatever it is you want to manifest. And people, they use wishing machines and the miraculous prayer board and wands, and they read my ebook, Finding Your Magic. They do all this because they realize that, hey, it works, and I'm onto something, and you can actually take some control. So whether we're talking about people who want to have a connection to loved ones or to to get, you know, success, to have a better job or more money or whatever. Listen to this. I want to read you a testimonial. I do this from time to time, and it's easy for me to forget to do this. But, you know, I get so sick of listening to these radio shows that are just commercials, commercials, commercials. Or don't you hate it when you're watching TV and you say, I already pay out the wazoo for this cable or this satellite or whatever, and now I got to watch commercials, commercials on top of it? Every time I want to watch something, it's just a damn commercial. It's a bunch of bullshit, right? So that's why I do this show commercial free. It's independent, you know that. It's uncensored, you know that. I can say whatever I want to. But I do like to plug the stuff that's in my curiosity shop at joshuapwarren.com, because it's good stuff. You're not going to find it anywhere else. And frankly, yeah, it keeps this thing in business. Listen to this testimonial that came from Mary. She gave me permission to read this. Mary in New Mexico. So she bought a wishing machine. And she said, I am definitely a believer in the power of thought, but sometimes it just is not enough. When I first heard about the wishing machine on Coast to Coast radio, I thought, well, what the heck, let's give it a try. My first wish was to find a loving home to sell my horse to. I had tried in vain to sell this horse the entire fall of 2018 with zero response. This last time I purchased the deluxe wishing machine, and I put my wish and some of my mare's hair on the copper plate. I set the dials, but not too much happened for 4 or 5 weeks. So I contacted Dr. Mulder. He gave me some advice, and then I got the bonanza response. As my husband said, we went from zero to beating them away with a shovel. I had at least 6 really good prospects to sell my horse in just a few days. I met with one of the potential buyers who did a test ride on the horse and was in love. Thank you, wishing machine. That comes from Mary in New Mexico. I could sit here all day and read you testimonials. And let me tell you something. If you've bought a wishing machine and you're having trouble, just email us. You know, we're here to help you. We want you to succeed. But wishing machines, you know, it's like the miraculous prayer board is there to give you a burst. Well, when you're putting your hands on that thing, you send out a burst into the universe. The wishing machine is there to work on a particular long-term goal 24/7. It's like taking your intention and putting it into a box and having that thing transmit 24/7. I like to use both of them. I view the wishing machine as the tool for, again, like your long-term goal. And then the miraculous prayer board is daily maintenance. But you can use them both. You should use them both. If you have a wishing machine, but you don't have a prayer board, then, or vice versa, we'll think about that. So anyway, if you go to joshuapwarren.com, there's no period after the P, go to joshuapwarren.com, click the link to the Curiosity Shop, just take a look. I'm actually about to revamp the Curiosity Shop. And I'm going to take down some products and clean some things up because, you know, I'm not Walmart here. I'm a small operation. And so I need to refine things a little bit as I get ready for 2020. So this may be your last opportunity to get some of those things that I have. And some are already out of stock. If you go to, again, joshuapwarren.com, click the link to the Curiosity Shop. I will tell you furthermore that while you are there at joshuapwarren.com, you want to click the link to this podcast, because you know we're less than a week away from whatever's going to happen at Area 51. And if you heard my conversation yesterday, my phone call with Christian McLeod at the Western North Carolina Bigfoot Festival, you see, I talked to him, and within minutes, boom, that stuff was posted, and the whole world could hear it. Well, that's what I'm going to be doing with some of the people this coming Friday, or whenever, who are going to be out there at Area 51. Now, communication's going to be spotty. It's going to be difficult. But I have the ability to have a phone call, and within minutes, have that thing posted and distributed to the whole wide world. So, if you are not a subscriber to the podcast, I don't know, you know, you're missing out. So while you're at joshuapwarren.com, click the link to this podcast called Joshua P. Warren Daily and subscribe through various means, or just follow me on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren, and I'll tweet when a new one is available. Also, while you're there, make sure at joshuapwarren.com you sign up for my free e-newsletter. And when something really big happens, I don't just do a podcast. I blast out an e-newsletter. And that way, you know, you get the definitive links and, you know, what images or whatever else that I want to send you. So all that stuff is at joshuapwarren.com. But Joshua P. Warren Daily, it's always free. It's always short. It's always commercial-free. It's independent. I'm telling you, this is the only real, uncensored, non-corporate way to talk to people. And I hope it lasts forever, but you never know. You know, the world is an unpredictable place. So I hope that you will tell your friends and your loved ones, your family, tell everybody about this podcast, and see how easy it is to access on any device that you have. So, as you know, I'm still exhausted and sleep deprived and still have a hell of a lot of work to do. So that's it for today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your interest and support. Thank you for staying curious. And I will talk to you again soon.